Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And we're going to be in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the last chapter, verses 1 through 6. Let's turn there, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and of the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, this is a great passage, my dear listeners, to have marked in your Bible. The second coming is like a sunrise. So Christ is called the Son of Righteousness here in Malachi chapter 4, S-U-N, amen. And Moses and Elijah are also mentioned, since they are the two anointed ones of Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 14, and the two witnesses mentioned in Revelation chapter 11, and the two who would sit beside Jesus in the millennial kingdom, and Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. And the two that appeared with Jesus at his transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1 through 5. And the two that represent the law and the prophets, which pretty well summarize the entire Old Testament according to Jesus in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The last word of the Old Testament here is curse, since the law is a curse to those who reject the lawgiver, according to Galatians chapter 3, in verses 10 through 13. So now we've finished the Old Testament looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible in the Old Testament. And again, these are just a few. You may have some of your own that you'd like to share with us. Drop me a line, amen, and let me know what you consider noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, amen. Now we turn, we go to the New Testament. And we want to turn first to Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 25. The Word of God has this to say. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, what I want us to see here is this. The word firstborn is taken out of the new translations, thus weakening the fact that Mary gave birth to other children. This, of course, helps the Catholics to teach that she remained a virgin and is now the Virgin Mary. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 69, and in Psalm 69, I want us to look at verse number 8 of Psalm 69. And here we have a prophetic psalm. It's a psalm of David. But notice here in verse 8 of Psalm 69 what the Word of God says. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. And of course, the one who became a stranger was Jesus Christ. His mother's children, the mother here is mentioned as Mary. And the children are the brothers and sisters that Christ had. Amen. So we see that after Jesus was born, that Mary did have other children. And Jesus had brothers and sisters. Amen. Alrighty, let's continue our study here. And we want to turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 with me in just a moment. In verse number 11, Matthew 3. Now here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, the Word of God has this to say. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And of course, this is the John the Baptist speaking here. But he that cometh after me, the he that cometh after John is Jesus Christ. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what we want to notice here are three baptisms in a single verse. A simple fact that Campbellites, Church of Christ, haven't been able to comprehend in two centuries. Even the charismatics are all goofed up upon the baptism of fire, thinking that it's the same as the Holy Ghost baptism. No, the fire baptism, my dear listener, is hell, according to verse 12. Verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat under the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Alrighty, chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What we want to see here is, this is a great reminder for you and I, dear listener, that we are to live by every word of God, not just by a few biblical guidelines. And notice how Matthew honored the italics from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 8, in verse number 3, we want to see here what the Word of God says, Deuteronomy 8, 3. Jesus is quoting here in Matthew from Deuteronomy 8, 3, which says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed them with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We see that the word here in Deuteronomy 8:3 is italicized. However, when you come to Matthew 4:4, amen, it's not italicized. So we see that Matthew honored the italics from Deuteronomy 8:3 as the Word of God. Now, let's turn to Matthew 24, or Matthew 4, rather, verse 24. Matthew 4:24, the Word of God has this to say, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought in to him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. This verse shows being a lunatic and being possessed with devils can be two different things. Now, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. If you have a Scofield Bible, the Scofield notes on these chapters is very good. But we want to see doctrinally, this Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is a constitution for the millennial kingdom. Of course, practical application can be made for the church. Amen. Alrighty, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, we read this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall in be danger of hellfire. Now, what's interesting is the new translations take out the words without a cause, which make it a sin to become angry for any reason, which is unscriptural according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 26, which says this, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See, any Christian should be able to become very angry over sin and repent of it. Amen? All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. In verses 9 through 13, the Word of God says this, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this passage we just read, this is where we find the so-called Lord's Prayer, which is a misleading title, since Jesus never prayed the prayer. He prayed the prayer of John 17, not this one. This prayer is more of a model prayer that tells believers the kind of things to pray about, in the manner in which to pray about them, though not the exact words to use. You see, using the exact words amounts to vain repetition, which is warned against in verse 7. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6 says this, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Amen. And I remember before I was born again, I was raised Catholic. We'd say the Our Father and the Hail Mary over and over and over and over and over again. All it was vain repetition. It meant absolutely nothing. Matthew chapter 6. Again, verses 19 and 20, the Word of God says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now this is a great memory verse. Amen. Which every believer should be familiar with, amen, where our treasures should be laid up, amen, not on this earth, but on heaven, amen, where things where they can't rust and be eaten by the moths and be stolen, amen, as the things are down on this earth. Are you, listener, are you laying up treasures in heaven? Amen. Are you living for the Lord? Are you doing His will for your life? Amen. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Most all unsaved people have a Bible that they live by. The problem is that it has only about 10 verses. And this is one of them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 has been quoted by more lost people than Christians. And it has been memorized by more lost people than John 3:16. Unfortunately, this obsession with a verse that they don't even understand has rubbed off on so many Christians that it's almost universally believed that it's wrong to judge. The following four verses, Matthew 7, verses 2 to 5, plainly show that the verse is one is not a commandment against judging, but rather a warning against unfair and harsh judgment. Amen. Let's read verses 2 to 5 of Matthew 7. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdeth the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Amen. After all, the same Jesus that gives us Matthew 7:1 also gives us John chapter 7, verse 24, that says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Of course, the unbelieving world doesn't know that verse because it isn't in their sick and twisted Bible of less than a dozen verses, nor is 1 Corinthians 2:15. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2:15, the Word of God says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, the Word of God says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame, it is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren." Also notice, Proverbs chapter 31 of Proverbs, in verse number 9, 31 Proverbs chapter 9, the Word of God says, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." See? Therefore, every serious Christian needs to know how to handle Matthew 7, verse 1 responsibly. Amen? Alrighty, let's turn to Matthew 7. We're in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The Word of God has this to say. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. How's that for the so-called moral majority? With such warnings, one would think that Christians would be suspicious of supersized mega churches, but not so. The pop culture has poisoned them from head to foot, so they naturally flock to the biggest church in town. According to Jesus, most of these people are lost in their sin, even though they profess salvation and do things in his name. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. You see, you can ignore their flattering words, their stylish clothes, and their fancy buildings, dear listener. But remember, examine their fruit. Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. So much for the charismatics, who make such a big fuss about doing this and that in the name of Jesus. And so much for the Campbellites, who claim to have the only true church because of their church name, the Church of Christ. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 29. The Word of God says this, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Jesus of the Bible didn't speak like the Jesus of Hollywood and the Jesus of Laodicean religion. He spoke with authority, which means he spoke the truth, and he spoke it like he believed it. He never worried about becoming unpopular with anyone or getting kicked out of anyone's church or fellowship. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and verse 34, the Word of God has this to say, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Again, the Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus of Hollywood or the Jesus of Laodicean churches. You see, peace is for righteous people, not for the wicked world at large. Notice what it says in the prophet Isaiah chapter 57 with me. Isaiah 57, and when we get to 57, we want to look at verse 21. The Word of God says this, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. All righty, let's turn to Matthew 11, verse 14. We read this in the words of God. And if you will receive it, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He's saying, Jesus is saying that John the Baptist would have fulfilled the role of the coming Elijah if they would have received him. They didn't receive him, not nationally. So the prophecy of Elijah's coming in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 will be fulfilled by the witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Also notice, we want to look at Matthew chapter 17. In verse 12, the Word of God says, but I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And then also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17, we read this in Luke 1:17, the Word of God says, "And he shall go up before him in the spirit of the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a ready people prepared for the Lord." Here in the Gospel of Luke, of course, Luke is speaking about John the Baptist, amen, as Mary had come and visited her cousin Elizabeth, and he's speaking about the child, John the Baptist, that Elizabeth was carrying, amen. Now let's turn to, as we're already in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, the Word of God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My dear listeners, this is a great memory passage. Only Jesus can give a sinner the lasting spiritual rest that he needs. This also explains why Christians do not keep the Sabbath. Our Sabbath is Jesus Christ. We don't keep the Sabbath because our Sabbath keeps us. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 12 in verse number 30. Jesus says here, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Notice how the Bible offers no middle ground. Either you're gathering with Jesus or you are scattering against him. Let's look also at 1 Kings with me, chapter 18, verse number 21, which says this, "And Elijah came up unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word." Amen. So there's no middle ground, my dear listener. Either you're gathering with Jesus, or you're scattering against him. Alrighty, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. The Word of God says this. Matthew 12, verse 34. "O generations of viper, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you, my dear listener, if you want to know a person's heart, just listen to their mouth, especially when they're talking about moral issues, social issues, and money. You can't literally read minds, but you can come real close. So, we've just about run out of time here. We're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And we're going to continue here in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25 when we pick up next time. Remember, when the study is completed, our study will be available on CD for the listeners if you just drop me a line. Thank you for joining me today, Brother Gino. May God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.